And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the topics, issues, and people that are important to you. And in this case, perhaps the animals, the reptiles that are important to you. We are joined here in the studio by Rachel Wright, who's in charge of PR and social media for the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, truly one of the treasures in our region. We're all so lucky to be that close to such a world-class zoo and organization. You know, you could go far and wide and not find a better zoo. So it's right in our backyard.
Thanks. We're lucky. We love this community. I am a fan of the zoo, too.
Of course, it's a
pretty special place.
And Rachel's not alone, folks.
No,
she has brought in, and I wish in a way that you could see this, she has brought in a slithery guest. We did post pictures on our KRDO News Radio Facebook page. So go there if you would like to see Panya.
That's right.
Panya. Who is Panya? What is Panya?
Panya is a beautiful ball python, and she's about 3.5 feet long, and she's just pure muscle, like we were saying. She's really, really strong, and she's got these beautiful markings. She is one of the residents that lives in the loft, which is where you can get hands-on with a lot of our smaller animals. So reptiles, like you were saying, mammals and birds are in there. You can maybe get to feed them, help the keepers take care of them, and they also participate in our outreach programs like Zoomobile.
And what makes Panya such a good ambassador?
She's a fantastic ambassador because a lot of people have a snake phobia. So when I walked in today, it was like, ooh, who's in the cooler? And I said, Panya, she's a snake, and it's 50-50. Three people jumped up and said, can I hold her? And three people were like, ooh, no.
Fall back.
So Panya's fantastic because she's really calm. She will explore you. I'm looking at her right now.
She's
going
like
up my neck.
I'm going up towards your neck with that little tongue, just that forked tongue just going.
Yep. But that's one of the things we like to do at the zoo is help people kind of explore some of those fears. And you can pet Panya and get to know a snake that's really calm. And then you might be a little more open to snakes as a species in general.
Well, we're around here, we're used to rattlers.
Right.
Panya doesn't have, it doesn't look like anything like that on her tail.
Nope.
How does she get her prey?
She's pretty quick. She's arboreal. So you saw her, she was clinging onto my leg and reaching up with the majority of her body. She's so muscular. So
she can go through trees and things.
Yep, up, climb up trees and things like that. And then she will wrap around. She can strike, so like a normal strike like you see in a snake, she'll do that. She'll get her prey with a strike and then wrap around it, constrict a little bit as she's swallowing it.
Oh, yum, yum. What does she like to eat? What does Panya like?
She loves mice, and her name is actually Panya Swahili for mouse. So she's named after her favorite food.
After what she likes to eat.
Yeah.
Me, it would be gummy bears if that were the case. Or licorice.
Right.
Oh, so cute. Well, I got to say, she is a cute snake. If snakes could be described as cute, she is a cutie.
She's absolutely beautiful.
Kind of a delicate head and a very long neck. And then
black eyes.
And then, boy, that muscular body that goes on. How long did you say
she's about
is?
About 3.5 feet long.
She's yawning. Yawned.
Yep.
She just yawned. A big old
Get
the
a better
jaws.
Smell.
And I could tell that was a yawn because I didn't see any teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Her teeth were not bared. So she was.
I think that's how she gets to know people too. Maybe tests them a little
bit. Oh, well, I like that.
She's a lot of fun. Yeah. And she's just super strong. Like you can see, she's holding up.
Yeah.
Her whole body.
Panya,
right now.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Right.
I don't want to fight
her
you.
Too. And ball pythons are more defense snakes than anything.
Okay.
So the reason they're called ball pythons is because they'll just curl up into a ball and wrap up really, really tight. So nothing can get to their heads.
And where does she come from? I'm looking at the, did you mention that?
No. Panya is like a rainforest kind of dweller.
Okay.
So ball pythons are kind of from all over, but she was born in human care, so she's used to being handled.
Well, and what beautiful coloring. She's all over kind of on her back. She's all over a dark brown or but then she has these very nice camel colored, khaki colored spots.
Kind of gold, kind of iridescent. Mm-hmm. You can see her muscles flexing there. And then underneath, she's softer and the scales are farther apart. So they're those can expand more as they're swallowing things and digesting, but they're also more vulnerable on those Softer scales.
Underbelly. Mm-hmm. But and then given that she's from the rainforest, I guess a big part of the education component when you're introducing Panya to kids or school groups mm-hmm. or what have you is
habitat
protection.
That's right. Yeah, that's a huge thing that we do. To survive, species need a place to live. Mm-hmm. And that's such a delicate thing because in a lot of developing countries, they're exploring new industry, and that's great because, you know, they're
it increases
their
incomes.
Yeah, and but it's also infringing a little bit on animal habitats. So a lot of the work we do, like we just had a team go over to Ecuador to track mountain tapir, and they're tracking them to help prove where they naturally roam. So hopefully they'll be able to protect some of those areas for them.
A little more
regulation.
Yeah, so fascinating. Well, we have much more to come
with Rachel
with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo and Panya. I don't know if you're going to stick around till after the break, but we are. You are listening to The Extra. We're going to take a short break right now. Your time is 9:15, but we have much more to talk about with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, including how the comeback is going, the revival after the destruction of last summer's storm. So we'll be talking about that with Rachel Davis. With the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Back in a moment. And welcome back. Time right now is 9:19 on this Thursday morning, and we're so fortunate to have with us here in the studio for The Extra, Rachel Wright with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Welcome. And
Thank you.
Brought your special friend, Panya.
That's right.
Panya, not a panda, Panya. Panya is a ball python.
That's right.
Beautiful ball python. Panya's a little sleepy, so we put him back to sleep in the cooler right now.
She can take a break.
Yeah. And what a beautiful snake, a beautiful, gorgeous, majestic animal.
She is.
Just one of the many that are there at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. So let's talk just briefly. Now, we know that immediately after the hailstorm in 2018, I was thinking it was last year, it was 2018,
yeah.
We knew that the rebuilding and the reconstruction had started right away. Mm-hmm. Right now, you probably can't see any effects of that at the zoo.
Yeah, walking around the zoo in the rebuilding efforts, like you were saying, we really prioritized, you know, animal safety, of course, first, and then the guest areas. So as a guest walking around, there's very little evidence that anything came through. But
anything was amiss.
Yeah. So the zoo was only closed for 4 days, and the team just sprung into action. It really, as you can imagine, an experience like that is really bonding for a team. So we feel stronger than ever.
Full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So now tell us, you've got new construction going on at the zoo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Water's Edge Africa is our new home for hippos and penguins. There will also be lemurs there.
My favorite.
Aren't they amazing?
They're my favorite animal in the entire globe are the lemurs.
It's a really cool lemur exhibit. It's called Lemur Island, and it's located right in the middle of the hippo pool. So they have indoor and outdoor space kind of on both sides of the indoor and outdoor hippo pools. And it's just open air out there. So you can see them. They've got this huge, tall tree that they'll be able to climb and perch on top of, which lemurs love to do. They love to be the lookouts from up there.
And they're very friendly. I mean, they like to look at people. They're very social.
They are, yeah. They're really interested in what's going on and with each other. And then we have two warthogs who will be over there, Penelope and Alexander.
Oh.
One really cool thing about this exhibit is, I don't know, have you been to the wallaby exhibit at the zoo, Australia Walkabout?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The wallabies can come right up to you.
And
you,
sometimes you're down there and you're petting a wallaby. Yes.
Yeah, if they let you pet them. So the penguin exhibit's going to be the same way. So you will be able to waddle with penguins at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interactivity. I mean, that's what I think with the giraffes, that's what makes it such a fantastic experience. One that really sticks with yourself and especially with young kids for their entire lives.
Oh, yeah. That's always our goal, is to help people form those connections with these animals that we hope will inspire them to take action to protect their wild cousins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is springtime at the zoo.
Yeah.
That's a special time
to be
at the zoo.
Yeah, spring break coming up. We just released our new demonstration schedule. So I always encourage people, if they're coming to the zoo, to check that out ahead of time. So every day is a different block of schedules of demonstrations. From 9:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, there's some kind of keeper talk, training you can observe, or feeding every 15 minutes throughout the day. starting with a chicken parade at 9:30 in the morning.
And who doesn't love fun chickens?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll have to bring one of the chickens next time. They're so much fun.
If you've ever had little kids around chickens, they love to be around chickens.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And what's going on with the elephants too?
The African elephants, so we have 6 African elephants. They're all doing fabulously right now. Our exhibit, a lot of people don't know, was designed specifically to care for aging elephants. So we saw that need in the zoo profession of, sure. You know, there are a lot of places for cute baby elephants to go. And we wanted to provide this area, exhibit and home for aging elephants. So we've got some really specialized equipment in there, like a hoist and crane system that spans the entire length of the barn. So last April, one of our elephants, Malaika, fell overnight and couldn't get up. Mm-hmm. So we have that equipment in place too. Our team sprung into action early hours of the morning, got this hoist underneath her, and were able to lift her up, and it saved her life, because elephants, if they're on their sides, excuse me, for too long, then it can be fatal because their organs have so much weight on them. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So they're all doing great. And the elephants have keeper talks and demonstrations, so you can show that or see that specialized care that they get. They participate in what's called elephant yoga. So they do all sorts of stretches that help keep them nimble and flexible as they age. It's important for all of us.
So that they don't fall, mm-hmm. like you were saying.
Yep. And then most of our animals throughout the zoo participate in their own health care. So they've been trained to do things like give blood draws so we can monitor their health. These sorts of medical tests and monitoring, you know, observation diagnostics that we're able to do now by encouraging the animal to participate with positive reinforcement rather than having to anesthetize them, which is always mm-hmm. dangerous, mm-hmm. Allows us to keep better track of their health. And they participate in it. Tahoma is our aging moose. He's getting x-rays right now, and he's just this big, huge guy, and he walks right up to his keepers, and
he knows what
puts
comes.
His hooves wherever, you know, yeah, he knows exactly what to
because
do.
Because there's a treat at the end.
There's a yummy treat at the end.
I wonder if that would work for my child.
They're happy to participate. Yeah, but it's really cool. I mean, so we were talking about Water's Edge. We don't have an opening date for that yet, mm-hmm. But we'll definitely be shouting it from the mountaintop as soon as we do. We've had, as a lot of people know, some construction issues with the pools. Think we're getting closer, so everyone hang in there with us. We cannot wait to bring the hippos home and share them with everybody.
That's going to be wonderful, because you know you go around the zoo, and that was one area where it was like, oh, this would be nice if they had as cool of a home as some of the other ones.
It was time for an update for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Well, our time right now is 9:26. We have much more of the Extra coming your way here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. We're talking all things related to the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, truly one of the treasures in the crown of Colorado Springs. We're back in a moment. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that brings you and connects you to the issues, the topics, and the people that are important to you. And in this case, we're talking about the animals that are important to all of us, the animals at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. And we're joined by Rachel Wright, who's the PR manager as well as social media manager for the zoo. And we did have out here in the studio, slithering around, Panya. The ball python snake, beautiful snake. We have pictures on our KRDO News Radio Facebook page, so go there and check them out. Beautiful snake. Panya's now in the cooler, taking
a
chill
nap.
Pill.
Yeah, taking a little time out.
Chillaxing.
Yeah.
Chillaxing. but we wanted to talk about, for those who need just a quick refresher, the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo it's a legacy zoo mm-hmm. nearing 100 years in our community. How did it come to be?
In 1926, Spencer Penrose, who is also known for establishing the Broadmoor, he had his own little menagerie of animals, and he just kind of didn't know what to do with them, we think. so he eventually hired a groundskeeper to help him take care of. He had chimpanzee, elephant, giraffe.
That's what they did back there. I think they brought back animals from their travels.
Right. Yeah. And didn't know a lot about them and just kind of, you know, they were exotic and cool, and he didn't know how to take care of them as best as they could have been, which, you know, at that time, that's kind of how it went. But Yeah, so it's grown, obviously.
How far
since then.
We've come. Oh, my gosh. Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're, you know, leading workshops on giraffe hoof care and doing voluntary blood draws from elephants and bears.
And all the babies that have been born.
Incredible breeding programs that help the species survive. I mean, these assurance populations in zoos really do help species survive. Our Mexican wolf pack is part of a species survival program.
Oh.
And we actually work with U.S. Fish and Wildlife to cross foster. So if we have a litter that's born at the same time as a wild litter, we will cross foster some of those pups to help the wild genetics increase.
Okay.
So they have better chances of having healthy offspring themselves.
And that's really tied into this member conservation vote.
That's right.
Conserving species, conserving habitat, all that. Tell us about this member conservation vote.
So you were asking, is this the same thing as when you walk in and you put your quarters in the kiosks? It's another conservation program. So what you were thinking of, and every visit to the zoo is
incomplete unless you do that.
Right. You got to pick which project you'd like us to support, which we support all of them. But every visit to the zoo supports conservation. 75 cents of every admission, every event, everything goes to conservation. So each year in March, in the separate program, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo members vote to select which conservation projects will receive funding. So we take $100,000 of membership revenue per year. $25,000 of that goes to the quarters for conservation program, and then $75,000 is allocated to these other projects that this program allows us to be really nimble. So our quarters for conservation programs are, we call them legacy programs. It's ongoing support, long-term projects, but these allow us to support things like last year we supported a penguin chick rearing in South Africa. There was a big change in climate, and the adult penguins were molting at a different time, which prevented them from swimming in those really cold waters and hunting, which meant they weren't coming back and feeding their chicks, which meant the chicks were dying.
The health was declining.
This was something that happened pretty quickly, and because of this program, we were able to invest in that.
Fantastic.
And be really nimble. So this year, we asked our members if we could send $20,000 to support Australia bushfire recovery. So we sent $20,000 to Zoos Victoria, and they're using that. And we've worked with them before. We know them. We trust them. We know the money's going to the right place. So now we're asking our members to help us decide how that remaining $55,000 will be spent. So we have a team of CM Zoo employees that are on this committee. We take a look at all kinds of conservation projects, and then we'll narrow it down. So,
and there are some fascinating options.
Yes,
here.
We've got six projects for members to consider this year. So, as I said, $20,000 has already gone to Zoos Victoria. Another project is to support a wildlife corridor for lions in Kenya. So, this would, as we were talking about, they're developing more roads, pipelines, and any kind of species that shares that space with humans is going to be impacted by that. So this funding would help plan developing pipelines and highways with data analysis and get the right stakeholders involved early on to help those organizations get involved in animal protection at the right time. So that's one of them, the Owosso Lions. We're also funding banding and monitoring of crowned cranes. We have some of those at the zoo. They're the beautiful tall birds with the big gold crown of feathers. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, just like we were talking about earlier, so much of conservation depends on collecting data about an animal's habitat and protecting that habitat. So that's another one. There also, another project is in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, helping the Okapi to protect their habitat. The Okapi.
I love the Okapi. Oh, they're so adorable.
Aren't they sweet? They're not sweet in the wild, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't see them
but
in the wild.
Our Okapi Bahati is a complete sweetheart. They, for anyone who's not familiar with an Okapi, it looks like a mix between, they have zebra-striped legs, and then they have really velvety-looking fur on the top portion of their body, which sort of is horse-like, and then they have small antlers on top. So they're really interesting species.
Not a miniature size, right? Kind of, if you're
they're
thinking
about horse
they're going to be
size, yeah.
Oh, they are. Mm-hmm. They do get that fast.
Yeah, they're okay. Pretty big and super velvety soft. Aww. Yeah, aww. Bahati's amazing. So go see him at the zoo. Another one is to continue our work with mountain tapir. So mountain tapir are really interesting looking animals. They have long prehensile noses. They've got bear-like bodies. So they look like little black bears, but then they have these round ears, long prehensile nose, and then they've got hooved toes.
Oh.
So they're built to live in the mountains and climb in the mountains. They live in the Andes. So we've been working on this project for a long time. Our team just came back. There are an estimated only 2,500 mountain tapir left in the wild. Again, it's a habitat threat situation. So we are tracking and putting GPS collars on mountain tapir and then working with a couple of other organizations to present that data to stakeholders mm-hmm. and hopefully who will make policies to help protect those habitats.
And raise awareness mm-hmm. and educate them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge part of it is just mm-hmm. being aware. Our team went over and visited schools in Ecuador in December and they said, you know, part of it is to help people establish this sense of pride for this amazing animal that lives right in their backyard. They don't even know it's there in some cases. So just raising awareness. And then the sega is an antelope-like creature who lives in Russia naturally. They're facing threats from poaching and wildfires. So this other project would purchase... I love how specific these get, too. You know exactly where your money's going. It's 7 pairs of binoculars and 1 camera, and then fuel costs, so we can support rangers patrolling and mitigating that poaching and wildfires on their reserve. And the final project up for vote is a tree kangaroo study. Tristan is our tree kangaroo.
I did not know there were such things as tree kangaroos.
They are amazing little guys. They mm-hmm. So they can hang from their tails, and they... naturally live in dense canopy, so they've been really hard to observe. Mm-hmm. Study, again, we just need information about these mm-hmm. animals. So this this project would work with the Tree Kangaroo Conservation Program to protect their habitat, study them, and then they would be also collaring two tree kangaroos to track their roaming range.
And how nice for the members to have this much influence in conservation efforts worldwide.
They really do.
These projects are where your dollars are going if you're a member. So
that's right.
Not only do you get the free admission to the zoo, but you also get to actually impact animals worldwide.
You Fantastic. Are making an impact as a member big time. Yeah. So we're going to distribute the email to members at the end of this month, so keep an eye on your inbox, members. You will get that private link to the voting page.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we're here with Rachel Wright, who's with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. We have many more things to discuss coming up, including we're going to try and fit it all in the last segment of The Extra, how to be bear aware, and some special events coming up. You don't want to miss it. We're here on The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And we're back with Rachel Wright with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, a font of information about the zoo and really about animals in general. And we want to just get some quick information in there because it's springtime. That means it's time for us all to be bear aware.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you recommend, Rachel?
There are some really simple things you can do to help protect bears. And of course, we don't have black bears at the zoo, but we live in an area where they call home. So one thing that people can do while they're enjoying the outdoors is put your trash out the morning it's supposed to be picked up. It's a really simple thing to do. Just keep it in a garage, keep your garage door closed.
Yes.
And just take that trash out that morning. If you wanted to invest in bear safe trash receptacles, mm-hmm. that's an option too. We have those throughout the zoo. They're really effective.
Even just bungee cords sometimes can work.
Sometimes
to protect.
They're pretty strong, so you'd be surprised. Yeah. But the best thing to do is just help them stay out of trouble. Don't put that temptation out overnight when they're the most active, because like you said, it's springtime. They're waking up and they're hungry.
And they're hungry. And it's really to protect not just yourself, but also the bears, because if they get too many of red flags against them,
That's
strikes
right.
against them, then they could be euthanized, and you don't want that.
That's right. Yeah, they can be labeled as nuisance bears, and there's such simple things you can do to help avoid that. I mean, I think we all live in Colorado because we love wild places. We love the wildlife, and so it's up to us really to take that responsibility and help them avoid those temptations. Like I said, bird feeders are another attractant, mm-hmm. especially hummingbird feeders. That sugar water,
the sugar,
they just
yeah.
guzzle
Bears
it down.
That.
Yeah, they love it. Sunflower seeds, other seeds. So you can, you know, pull those bird feeders in at night, or even, you know, once things start blooming and birds have other things to eat, just put them away for the summer and put them out in the winter when the birds really need that extra help.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Rachel, also, you with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo being such an important attraction, they have events that are really fun
That's
and
right.
very exciting. So tell us about some of the events coming up where we could get, I guess, a little bit more into the
yeah.
Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, even more involved.
Different kinds of experiences to have at the zoo. So we're a nonprofit. We don't receive tax support. So these events and admissions really help us continue to meet those standards of care that, you, like you said, you've come to expect from us, and we're happy to meet. So one semi-new event, we've only done this once, is called Silent Night. It's from 5:30 to 7:30. We've got three dates. You can get all of the information about this at cmzoo.org/silentnight. The concept for this is a quiet evening on the mountain. All natural sounds. So we'll turn off any kind of carousel music. All of our restaurants are taking into consideration noises that they might make, and so they're offering a limited menu. It's a time to disconnect from your busy life. We're asking people to stay off their phones, whisper conversations. I mean, it's really, we're into this. You know,
we are taking
it seriously.
Taking it back to nature.
Yeah. Okay. So enjoy the nature.
Oh, fantastic.
Another one is Run to the Shrine. This is an awesome event. I love it. It's Saturday, May 16th. The race starts at 8:30. It's a 4-mile route from the zoo up to Will Rogers Shrine of the Sun and back
Feel
down.
Feel the burn.
Oh,
Feel
yeah.
the burn.
Oh, yeah. I know. When we say the views are breathtaking, we're being literal, too. It's an insane race, but it's great for all racers. It's for competitive runners and walkers. We have people out there with strollers, walking up the hill, making a day of it. Your registration includes admission to the zoo for the day. So come hang out, run in the morning or walk in the morning, and then come hang out at the zoo the rest of the day. We are limiting participation this year, so if you've waited to register in previous years, you might not want to do that this year. cmzoo.org/run for that information.
And then the last event,
yeah.
Moonlight on the Mountain.
Moonlight on the Mountain is our 21 and up event. We've got Moonlight on the Mountain and Tales, Tunes, and Tastes. This year, we're offering three nights of Tales, Tunes, and Tastes. These are all four nights of 21 and up live music throughout the zoo. Moonlight on the Mountain tickets are available at cmzoo.org/moonlight, and Tales, Tunes, and Taste tickets are available at cmzoo.org/tales. If you didn't get all those URLs, just go to cmzoo.org.
And what an introduction or a reintroduction. Like we were saying, if mm-hmm. you went to the zoo as a kid, a lot has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Come back.
Yep.
You'll be finding a lot is different. Well, Rachel Wright with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure, great for you to share all this information, and especially share Panya with
Panya,
us.
We love happy
Panya.
To meet you.
Panya the Python. It's 9:55 right now. That's it for the Extra right now. Don't forget to join us again tomorrow for the Extra Business Edition with Ted Robertson. Have a great day.